Morning.
We're holding on your tests on what bays the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mishan Nozo Nizirus Harbe, a person who made Nizirus of a lot. Now, usually Harbe would mean a lot, as in many terms of Nizirus, but here Tosfos explains that it means a longer than 30 days. And in fact, the Rosh has the Girsa, not Harbe, but Meruba, which makes it more clear that it means a long Nizirus of more than 30 days. Anyway, so he was outside of Otisiro when he did that. And he finished his Nezirus there in Chutz La'aretz, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael to bring his korbanos. That, of course, he has to do. He can't bring his korbanos anyplace else, and he can't send them with somebody else because you have to be present when you're, in general, you have to be present when your korbanos are brought, but particularly for a Nazir, there's particular reasons why he has to. He needs to do smicha on his korbanos. He has to burn his hair. He has to take his hair and burn it under the fire where the shlomim is cooked. So necessarily, he's going to have to come to Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, what happens with the Nezirus up until now in Chutz La'aretz? Now, you have a concept, which we're going to deal with in more detail later on in the Masechta, and we're going to deal with briefly in our Gemara over here, that at some point, the Chachamim declared the lands outside Eretz Yisrael Tamei. The official reason for it, Api Halacha, is because Goyim were not always careful about where they buried bodies. They might indiscriminately bury them anywhere, and therefore any place you go in Chutz La'aretz, conceivably there might be dead bodies buried underfoot, or even pieces of them that worked their way to the surface. There's other ideas behind it as well, one of them being that the Chachamim wanted to discourage people, especially Kohanim, from leaving Eretz Yisrael. If they know that going outside Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be Tomei and they're going to be needed to be sprinkled with paradrum or water, then they're not going to go, and that way they'll stay in Eretz Yisrael. Apichzidus is the idea, the Alter Rebbe mentions it in Tanya, that the very air in Chutz La'aretz is full of klippos and sitra achra. Because after all, the lands outside Eretz Yisrael get their hashpad, not directly from Hashem, but mediated through whichever of the sarim is in charge of that land. Whatever, the point is, there is this gzeira d'rabbanan, that the lands outside Eretz Yisrael are tamei. So now the point of it is, therefore, this person has been outside Eretz Yisrael all this time, he's been tamei. It was in effect the equivalent, sort of what we had earlier in the perek, of the person becoming a nazir when he was in the Beis HaKvaras, with the difference being, of course, that here we're talking that he was tamei only midrabbana. So now, what happens with his nazirus when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? Beis Shammai umrim, nazir shloshim yom. Beis Shammai says we require him to be a nazir for an extra 30 days. It's a knas that the Chachamim imposed on him for the fact that he took on nazirus in Chutz La'aretz. But Beis Shammai is saying it's enough to do 30 days, which is the minimum term of Nezirus, no matter how long. In other words, so if there's Nezirus, the reason why the Mishnah presents the case where it was Nezirus Meruba is because if it was Nezirus Mu'etis, if it was the minimum Nezirus of 30 days, there'd be no Machloikis. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to say that he has to, in effect, that he has to start his Nezirus over again because 30 days is the minimum time of Nezirus anyway. The Machloikis is when the Nezirus is longer than 30 days, does he have to restart? Beis Hillel is going to say that he has to restart all over. Beis Shammai is saying 30 days is enough, and it's enough to have that knas of 30 days. In fact, one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Peretz, says in his Tosfos, which actually the Tosfos and our Masechta are basically based on Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, but there is a separate collection of his Tosfos that's been published separately. Anyway, he says, suppose, for example, the person had made a Nezirus for 100 days. Let's say he arrives in Eretz Yisrael before the 70th day, then according to Beis Shammai, he wouldn't even need anything extra. He has at least 30 days in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore that's good enough, and he can just complete his original Nezirus, and we don't worry about the fact that the previous 70 days were in Chutz La'aretz. Basil will say no, Nazir Batchila, he's going to have to be a Nazir all over again, starting from the beginning. They hold that's how the Knas is, that's how the Knas is, that the Chachamim penalized him, that his entire Nazirus that he did in Chutz La'aretz does not count at all, for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Now, one thing is, it comes out, according to Beis Hillel, and even sometimes according to Beis Shammai, it comes out he's delaying bringing his korbanos. Usually, you're not allowed to do that. The Rosh points out, though, we have a general rule that the Chachamim are able to override a din of the Torah where it's Sheval Tase, where the Chachamim are telling you not to actively violate a din in the Torah, but rather to passively violate it by not doing something. That's how we have, for example, we don't hear Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and we don't take Lulav on the first day of Sukkot, or any day of Sukkot. Well, only the first day is Paradise outside Eretz Yisrael, whatever, anyway. The point is, we see that the Chachamim have the ability to tell us, don't do this, even though Daraisa you would be able to. So the same way over here, the Chachamim can tell this Nazir, don't bring your Korbanos yet. Wait another 30 days, according to Beis Shammai, or the entire length of your Nazirus, according to Beis Hillel, and then bring your Korbanos. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the Chachamim have the ability to impose such a rule. So the Mishnah tells a case, Maisa Behilmi Hamalka. It happened with Queen Hilmi. She's mentioned here and there throughout Shas. We had, for example, in Yuma, it mentioned that she donated some great things to the Beis Mikdash. She donated a nivreshes, which is some kind of candelabra or decoration for the front of the Beis Mikdash, and also a golden tablet that had the parasha of the Sota written on it, so they could copy it out when they needed to. She and her family were so Rashi and Tosfos explain elsewhere that she and her family were actually descendants of the Hashmonaim. There were other sources that explain that actually they were Gaelic. They were, you have in Josephus's histories and in other places, it describes a whole long story where they were the royal family of a country called Khadiev, which nowadays is parts of Turkey and parts of Iraq. But in that time, it was an independent kingdom. They were the royal family of that kingdom, and they eventually became Gaelic. So they're mentioned here and there in Shas about tremendous things that they did for the Jewish people. So the Mishnah is saying it happened with this Hilmi Amalka, Shaholach Benola Milchama. Her son went off to fight a war, because again, they're the royal family, so her son is going to have to be leading the army. The Omra, so she made a neder, Im Yove Bnimin Amalchama B'Shalom, if my son comes home safely from the war, Ehe Nezira Sheva Shani, I will be a Nezira for 7 years. So, sure enough, Bob Namina Mochama, her husband, her son, came home safely from the war. So she observed Nazirus outside Eretz Yisrael in Chadiev for 7 years. Then, at the end of 7 years, she came to Eretz Yisrael to bring her korbanos, not realizing this takana that we're talking about in the Mishnah over here. And Beis Hillel told her, as according to their shitta that we just said in the Mishnah, that she has to be a Nazir for another 7 years because, again, according to Beis Shammai, it would have been enough, another 30 days, but according to Beis Hillel, she has to start all over with another 7 years. So she did. At the end of 7 years, she became Tomei. At the end of 7 years, she became Tomei. So, and now she had to start all over again because a Nazir becomes Tomei, loses all their days of Nazirus. The result is the Nimtzis Nazira Esther Ma'achastrana. So it came out that she ended up being a Nazir for 21 years, 7 in Chutz Laaretz and 14 in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, historians mention that because she had to stay a significant amount of time in Eretz Yisrael, she built herself a palace over there. They've actually found remnants of it in the diggings around Yerushalayim. They found bits and pieces of it because if she and her family are going to have to be there 14 years, she had to have a place to live, of course. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says she was a Nazira for only 14 years, and we'll see in the Gemara what the point is that he's arguing on with Tanakhama. Is he arguing on the facts of what happened, or is he arguing on the halacha is that arguing on how the halacha was decided for her? An interesting point, by the way, that Rambam mentions that if a person becomes a Nazir in Chutz Laaretz, we force them to come to Eretz Yisrael and do their Nazirus over there. And then you have the rules that it says over here in the Mishnah. And in fact, the Rambam says for that reason, even nowadays, even though there's no Beis Mikdash, if a person were to become a Nazir nowadays in Chutz Laaretz, part of this knas that we're saying would that we would require him to move to Eretz Yisrael and finish out his Nazirus over there. Not finish out, because until the Beis Mikdash is built, he can't finish out his Nazirus, but whatever, to continue living the rest of his life as a Nazir. Famously, closer to our times, there was a well-known Talmud of Rav Kook by the name of Rav David HaKoyen, who had grown up from, then he had gone off the derech in Rav Kook met him in Switzerland during World War I and was mashpia on him, and he became a Baal Teshuva. He became a Nazir, and he took a move to Eretz Yisrael and spent the rest of his life there, according to what the Rambam says. His son nowadays is the Rav of Haifa. So the Rambam says you have to force him. The Ravid says, what's the point? Everybody's tummy mess nowadays anyhow, in Eretz Yisrael, as in Chutz Laaretz. What's the point of forcing him? And the Kesef Mishnah mentions on that. Before we even get to the Ravid's question, we have to ask, in our Mishnah, we're saying that she only came after 7 years, implying nobody told her until that time she has to. How would the Rambam explain that? So he says, as far as that question, you could say, okay, maybe listen, you know, maybe she couldn't come because she's busy with government matters or whatever. Somebody has to run the government while her son is away fighting the war and afterwards. So maybe she wasn't able to get away until that time. So that's not the kind of thing that they'd force her about when there's an onus like that. Or he says, of course, it could be the Chachamim didn't find out what happened until 7 years had passed. And then they told her, you know, you need to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then in fact, she went. And then the Chacham in Eretz Yisrael told her how long she needs to be a Nazira again. So there's a few possibilities. As far as the Ravid, the Kesef Mishnah says, listen, okay, it may be true that we're all Tomei Mess nowadays. Listen, though, the fact is you have the Gzeira Dirabanan that Chutz La'aretz is Tomei and Eretz Yisrael is not. So for that reason alone, we know, after all, even if a Nazir is Tomei, he's still not allowed to make himself Tomei again. So by the same token, even if the person is in Chutz Laaretz, and yeah, he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael, he'll still be Tomei Mess, because he still can't be sprinkled with Parah Adumah water. It's still better to avoid whatever Tumah he could. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We said, Katoni Reisha, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, B'Shamah Emim Nazir Shloshim Yoim, or B'Silol Emim Nazir Batchila, that B'Shamah says he's a Nazir for 30 days, and B'Silol says he has to start all over again. Now the Gemara is going to be analyzing this part of the Mishnah. There's really no reason for the Gemara to even be quoting that part again. We know that the first part of the Gemara is always going to be discussing the first part of the Mishnah. So Tosfos explains this is one of those Loshen Nazir Mishuna things, that the terminology and the way of expressing itself in Nazir is unusual, that here you have, in other words, again, apparently this Gemara didn't go through that final polish that the other Masechtos did, and therefore things like that were left in. Anyway, the Gemara says, Lema Bahok Mifli. Should we say that the underlying machloikas b'shama b'shilol is the b'shama sabri eretz ha'amim mishum gusha gozer aleha, that b'shama would say that the reason why the chachamim declared chutz la'aretz to be tamei is because of the actual dirt there. So in other words, they would say that only if you touch the actual dirt of it, or you tell me, but for example, now we talked about the other day, we had the example where a person travels in a shida tevo migdol. A person, let's say, is being carried in a box. We had that the other day in the Besak Baris. We're going to have it later on in the Masechta, again, as far as Eretz Amim. By the way, we have to keep in mind, our Mishnah is talking about the case where the person became a Nazir in Eretz Amim, which is the equivalent of what we had earlier in the Perek, about a person becoming a Nazir in the Beis HaKvaris. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about what about if a person was a Nazir in Eretz Yisrael and then left for Chutz Laaretz, what are the dinim then in terms of does he lose the days of his Nazirus and bring a Korban Tumah and so forth. Anyway, and we'll also mention the point about Shita Teva or Migdol over there as well. Anyway, the point is, let's say now he goes into Chutz Laaretz in a Shita Teva or Migdol, one of these large wooden boxes, or, you know, the modern equivalent would be to go there in a car or an airplane. So on the face of it, maybe Beis Shammai holds that the only reason for the Gzeira was because of the Gush, only if you actually touch the dirt of Chutz Laaretz, which in that case means that the Tumah of Chutz Laaretz, therefore, is a weak kind of Tumah. We see that there's this heker that even you go there in a box, you're not Tomei, since it's so weak, then therefore also when it comes to the dinim of a Nazir, maybe 30 days is enough. Or Basilo Sabri Mishum Avira Gozer Allah, and Basilo would say that no, the Gzeira is because of the air. Even the air of Eretz Amim is Tomei, so therefore even a person goes in there in a box, it doesn't help him because he's still breathing the air of Chutz Laaretz. And therefore that would mean that it's a stronger kind of Tumah. And therefore they would say also to go with that, you need a stronger new Nazirus. So the full length of the Nazirus, not just 30 days. So should we say that that is the underlying machloikas, which is a point that's discussed in a number of other places in Shas, whether that is the, what, which of those is the idea behind the Gzeira. Now the Gersa we have in front of us is that the Mefarish follows that Gersa and explains, like we just said, Tosfos brings that Gersa, but they don't really like it, because it still seems hard to understand. The fact is, you know, earlier, for example, a person was in a Beis HaKvaris. The heir of the Beis HaKvaris is not Tomei, because you're only Tomei only if you're overshadowing one of the graves, not just if you're breathing the heir of the Beis HaKvaris. We learned earlier, if you went in there in a Shita Teva or Migdol, in principle, you wouldn't become Tomei unless somebody broke open the box. So what if the person is in Eretz HaAmim inside a box. The fact is that still a person is in a Beis HaKvaris. They're not Tomei from breathing the air of it, but they still have to start their Nezirus over again. So why should it be any different with Eretz HaAmim? So Tosfos has to use, what?
Does it matter how close you are in a Beis HaChayim, how close you are, or only leading over?
No, we're talking about in principle, we're talking about if a person were to be more than four amas away from the graves, then fine, you know, then he'd be okay. But the point is, in other words, when we said before the person was in the Beis HaKvaris, the pashtus, we're talking in an area where he's going to become tummy. We did mention the other day, actually, what the Rambam holds on this, that maybe, in fact, the tumah of a Beis HaKvaris is also only Dirabbanan. Maybe, in other words, the Gemara does touch on this point elsewhere. In Brachas, for example, the Gemara mentions that most Gvorim, you know, in those times, they used to bury people inside, even nowadays, they bury people inside coffins, inside Aronis. And most of the time, there's usually an open space of a tefach inside the oron between the top of the mess and the lid of the oron. So therefore, midaraisa, that would be good enough to block the tumah, and therefore, really, maybe the tumah of a Beis HaKvaris is only derabanan. But since it's not always the case, then therefore you have to consider it a tumah daraisa. This is negeia nowadays for the whole question of kohenim flying in planes over cemeteries. One of the ideas that's brought as a potential kula in that regard is this point that many kvarim have that tefach of space. On the other hand, actually, they've checked into it and found that nowadays that's not always the case. And sometimes, of course, the earth collapses and sinks in, and there's all kinds of different fun stuff about that make it that you can't necessarily rely on that point. In principle, if a person were to go into a part of a Beis HaKvaris where he's far enough away from the graves, then yeah, in principle, there wouldn't be a problem. So Tosfos prefers the Girsa the other way around. Beis Shammai would say the problem is the Aver. Beis Hillel would say the problem is the Gush, is the clods of dirt. So Beis Shammai would say that we see we're so machmer on Eretz HaAmim, so we're machmer on it also as far as making him 30 days. Beis Hillel would say that Beis Shammai would say, since we see that we're so machmer on it, then it becomes very clear that, that it's not like a Beis HaKvaris, and therefore 30 days is enough. Beis Hillel would say that they're only gozer because of the gush, because you touch the clods of dirt over there. Well, therefore, it's going to be like a caver, and therefore people might confuse it with a Beis HaKvaris, and therefore Beis Hillel would say that you have to start all over again. The point is, should we say that that's the underlying machloikas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is this question of what is the nature of Tumas Eretz HaAmim? So the Gemara answers, loy, not necessarily. Dekula alma mishum gusha gozru aloy. We might say that everybody agrees that the tumah of Eretz HaAmim is only if you directly touch the clods of dirt over there, not, in other words, if you breathe the air of it. Now, later on in the Masechta, when we get further into this matter of Shida Tevo Migdol, of what's called an oihol zaruk, a moving oihol, we're going to say the halacha is a moving oihol does not block tumah. So therefore, practically speaking, it doesn't really matter, even if you go into Eretz HaAmim in a box, you're still going to be tummy because the oil doesn't prevent the tumor of the gush from reaching you, of the clods of dirt from reaching you. Nevertheless, so one thing that's negeya for example, the Rambam describes in Yad HaChazaka, that let's say, for example, you have a person like just walks over the border, or not walks, is just carried over the border of Eretz Amim, like you have a place, a place in Eretz Amim, like you just walk over the border into Jordan or Syria or Lebanon or what have you. Don't do that. It's probably not good for your health. But anyway, in principle, if you did that, then you wouldn't be Tomei from Eretz Amim, because the problem is only the Aver, not really the Gush yet, because we're still contiguous with Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so we could say both Bishama and Bishil agree with that point, that the Tumah is really only because of the Gush, not so much because of the Aver. But all it is Beis Shammai holds that all you have to penalize the person in this case is to make them keep Stam Nezirus, which is 30 days, or Beis Hillel Sabri, Kikanistim, Betchilas Nezirus. Beis Hillel would hold, if you're going to penalize them, then it has to be that they have to start their Nezirus all over again. So we said in the Mishnah, Maisa Behilni Amalka B'chola, we have the story with Hilni, where she was a Nazira outside Eretz Yisrael for 7 years, came to Eretz Yisrael, did another Nazirus for 7 years. Then the Mishnah said she became Tomei and had to count another 7 years. And Rabbi Yehuda says that no, she was a Nazira. So altogether, the Tanakhama says she was a Nazira for 21 years. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, she was a Nazira for only 14 years. So the Gemara says, Iboilu, the Yeshiva Light had a question. Are we talking about that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that she did become Tomei, but Rabbi Yehuda wants us to know that in fact they told her like this Shammai, and that would be a strong reason to actually pass him like this Shammai, because we often say Maiser Rav, as much as we can have, the halacha theoretically might be such and such, but if we see that the halacha in a certain case was practically passed in a certain way, that would be a reason to follow that opinion and as practical halacha in other cases as well. So is Rabbi Yehuda saying that she did become Tomei? And he's saying that Beis Shammai had told her to begin with, so she only needed 30 days. So what happened, in other words? So she came to Eretz Yisrael after the 7 years. She did 30 days. Then she became Tomei. Then she did. So now having become Tomei, now fine, she loses all of her Nezirus as of the beginning. Now we don't just say she loses 30 days. Now we say, in effect, one of the Mefarshim points out, we consider it the Shita L'Chachme Ivra, actually what it is it's a collection of Tosfos from the Chachamim who lived in a city in France called Ivra. It's in northwestern France. Anyway, at the time, and at one point during the period of the Balei HaTosfos, there were three brothers who lived there who were all great Chachamim, and they had a yeshiva over there that attracted many, many Talmidim. And so they wrote a collection of Tosfos called Shita L'Chachme Ivra. Anyway, they say that the vote would be, in effect, we consider the 30 days not as though it's a new Nezirus, but as though it's the completion of the Nezirus from Chutzlaret. So in other words, in Hilmi's case, in effect, it's as though her Nezirus was to begin with to last for 7 years and 30 days. Well, therefore, now if she becomes Tomei, then she has to start all over again. But since Rabbi Yehuda holds that it was only like this Shammai, she only needs to keep an extra 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it comes out, according to him, that all you need is that all she needed altogether was 14 years and a little bit. For 7 years in Chutz Laaretz, 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. During those 30 days, she became Tomei, and then another 7 years in Eretz Yisrael. So 14 altogether. So is that what Rabbi Yehuda means? Or is Rabbi Yehuda saying that it is like this Hillel, they did tell her like this Hillel, but he's just arguing on the actual facts. Did she end up becoming Tomei at the end and having to start her Nezirus over again, or did she successfully complete her Nezirus in Eretz Yisrael the first time? Within that, actually, the Mefarish brings a possibility. When we say Shaloi Nitmes, means that maybe it was only the fact that she came from Eretz Amim, so she just had to do 7 years. But maybe what it means, in other words, after that, she never became Tomei again. Or does it mean that she became Tomei with Tumas Mes, and therefore she had to, after 7 days of becoming Tahor, then she had to start all over again. But when she first came from Chutz Laaretz, she only needed to keep 30 days like this Shammai. So which one does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Then the Mefarish brings over here another way of understanding it. Are we talking about that she became Tomei sometime that she became tomei sometime during the 7 days of her tumah, but not on yom malois, not on the last day of her nezirus, because after all, we learned before, we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that if the person becomes tomei on the last day of their nezirus, then they don't lose everything. All they lose, according to him, is 30 days. So maybe, in other words, maybe we would say that the case is where she became tomei, does Rabbi Yehuda mean that she became tomei on Yom Malois, on the actual day that she would have finished her 7 years, or did she become tomei before that, and therefore she would have to start all over again? And then again, maybe you would say that Beis Shammai would say she only needs 30 days. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's prove from the Mishnah. Let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. Also, La'aretz, we said she went up to Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hillel told her she has to be in Nezira for another 7 years, and then Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that she became Tomei, but he's disagreeing with the Chachamim and saying that it was Beis Shammai, that the halacha follows Beis Shammai, that she only needed Nezirus for another 30 days, Ihochi, well, in that case, why use the expression Rabbi Yehuda Omerlo, Hoysa Nezira, Ella Yudalad Shana? Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying she was in Nezira for only 14 years, Yudalad Shana or Shloshim Yomi Barulai? Then it should have said 14 years and 30 days. So the fact that he doesn't mention the 30 days, and again, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Chachamim over here, we should expect him to be precise so it's clear what he holds. So therefore, it has to be, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So forget about 30 days. If she's going to start over, as the Chachamim told her, it needs to be 7 years. But she didn't, in fact, become Tomei, and therefore it wound up that she was Tomei, that she was in Nezira for only 14 years. There were no extra 30 days. So now we have the next couple of lines of the Gemara, a number of the Mephoshim over here, Tosfos and some of the other Mephoshim, are not Godus, because it doesn't fit with the Gemara, but we'll quote them anyway, and we'll try to explain them. So Tanya Namihachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, De Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, Zois Toras HaNazir, and we learned before about this, I mean, that Torah Omer, Ki Nitma, B'yem Malois, Tenlai Toras HaNazir, the Torah is telling us that if a person becomes Tomei on the day that their Nezirus should be completed, meaning it's the day before they're supposed to bring their Korbanos, but it's the last day of the count that they were supposed to be, for example, in this case, it would be the last day of the 7 years, Tenlai Toras HaNazir, give him the Torah of a Nazir, meaning he only has to be a Nazir for 30 extra days. So according to Tosfos, that piece does not belong over here. Because, in other words, the Gemara has proven, just from the fact that it says in the Mishnah, 14 years rather than 14 years and 30 days, means that Rabbi Yehuda must agree with Beis Hillel. He's just arguing on the facts of the case. The Chachamim are saying she became Tomei and needed another 7 years, and Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing. And Tosfos points out, now, why don't you say, according to that, so what kind of a proof is that? How do you know she came exactly on the 7th anniversary? Maybe she came to Eretz Yisrael a couple of weeks before the 7th anniversary, and the 30 days would be included in the end of the 7 years. In other words, so she could have been a Nezira for 6 years and 11 months in Chutz La'aretz. Then she comes to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Chachamim tell her you need another 30 days. And then, so Rabbi Yehuda could still be like Beis Shammai, that she only needs 30 days. And then she became Tomei and needed another 7 years. So what kind of a proof is that to the contrary? Tosfos says, because Tosfos answers that with another question. Why did the Gemara Bechlal have to bring what the Tanakhama says? We're discussing Rabbi Yehuda over here. So why does the Gemara bring the proof, Toshma, from what the Chachamim say? Also La'aretz, V'haruah Beis Hillel, why not just go straight to what Rabbi Yehuda says? So Tosfos explains, that's the point. Those two things, we can answer them with one answer. Because the Tanakhama is clearly talking about 4 years, because the Tanakhama is saying that she was Tomei at the end of 7 years, implying and she needed 21 years, and the Tanakhama does not say 20 years and some months or whatever, therefore implying that according to the Tanakhama, each thing happened on the anniversary. She came after the 7 years on the last day of the 7 years, and she became Tomei on the last day of the 7 years. So therefore, we can assume that also Rabbi Yehuda is also talking about something similar. So therefore, Now, so you would have 7 years of Chutz La'aretz and 7 years that if she became Tomei, she would have to do again. But in between, you would have 30 days that according to Beis Shammai, she would have had to do before she became Tomei. And therefore, the result would be 14 years and 30 days. And the fact that he doesn't say it that way implies that not that there was havlah, not that some of them were combined with others, but rather just that he disagrees. So the Gemara is saying that showed that he disagrees on the facts of what happened. He holds not like you, Tanakama, are saying that she became Tomei, but rather she remained Tohar. So all there was the 7 years in Chutz La'aretz and another 7 years in Eretz Yisrael.
Where do you get this whole concept of 21 years? I mean,
that's what I'm saying, 7, 7, and 7.
I understand, but why would they even think about 21 years?
Because that's seven times three is 21. What do you mean? She to begin with made the Naziris for 7 years. She to begin with, when she made the Naziris, she said, I'll be a Nazir for 7 years. Yeah.
Well, but that's not usually the case.
It's not usually the case, but a person can take on Naziris for however long they want. In her case, she considered it important enough. She wanted her son was away at war. We said in the Mishnah her son was away at war, and she was davening for his safety and saying that if he comes home safely, then she'll be a Nazir for 7 years. Why'd she pick 7 years, basic Mishnah? But that's the story.
Okay.
Anyway, the Girsa that we do have in front of us in the Gemara with those 3.5 lines, Tanya Nami Hochi, that fits with one of the ways that the Mefarish explains our Gemara. He says that one way of understanding the two possibilities within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, does Rabbi Yehuda mean that she became Tomei on the last day, or does he mean that she became Tomei on an earlier day? She became Tomei on the last day of the 7 days, or did she become Tomei sometime earlier? So we can say that Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda is bringing Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and bringing the line with Zois Tordas on Nazir, Atorda Omer Tenloy Tordas Nazir, therefore that implies that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. We find elsewhere, in fact, that Rabbi Yehuda was one of Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim. Anyway, so therefore, so now when Rabbi Yehuda is saying in our Mishnah that she was a Nazira for only 14 years, it would have to be that, in fact, since he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that if the person becomes Tomei on Yom Malois, then you don't need the full time of the Naziris. All you need is 30 extra days. Then necessarily, so it would have to be that Rabbi Yehuda is saying she didn't become Tomei and she just did her 14 years, because otherwise, the point is that otherwise she would have needed at least those extra 30 days. Because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that you need 30 days in such a case, unlike the Chachamim who say that you would need 7 years in such a case. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is bringing Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that supports what we brought from the Mishnah. So we have, in other words, two things. Number one, that the Mishnah didn't use the expression that Rabbi Yehuda says 14 years and 30 days. And second of all, that Rabbi Yehuda does in fact hold that in the scenario of a Nazir who becomes Tomei on the last day, they're going to need an extra 30 days. So taking all that together, since Rabbi Yehuda is saying that she was a Nazira for only 14 years and no more, implies therefore that he is disagreeing on the facts. Did she become Tomei? He is saying she did not become Tomei. All that happened was she had her 7 years in Chutz La'aretz, 7 years in Eretz Yisrael. She brought her korbanos and everything was over and done with.
7 and 7.
7 and 7, yeah. As opposed to the Tanakama, who says that she was a Nazir for 21 years.
Okay.
An interesting point, by the way, is in this kind of case where a person comes to Eretz Yisrael or where a person becomes Tomei from Tumas Eretz Amim, are they in fact going to bring korbanos in that case? Now, on the face of it, given that the whole truma of Eretz Amim is only derabanan, then on the face of it, the Chachamim can't tell you to bring korbanos that you're not chayiv in minatur. So for that, or not even the case of Eretz Amim. Let's say in a case like this, you think about it, Midar Daisa, who Nazirus was over after the 7 years that she was in Chutz La'aretz. The whole concept that she needs another 7 years or 30 days, according to Beis Shammai, is only derabanan. If we're saying at that point she becomes Tomei, and we're saying she has to start her Naziris over, but would she bring Korbanos Tumah in that case? On the face of it, maybe not, because the Midar Daisa, her Naziris is already over, and everybody agrees that you don't lose days for that. So in fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that she won't bring a Korban Tumah. On the other hand, the Keren Oira says that no. He says, since the Chachamim said that she has to be a Nazira in Eretz Yisrael, then she's a full-fledged Nazira for all purposes, including the fact that when she becomes Tomei, she brings a Korban Tumah. So you'd have, so in other words, so practically speaking, what did she do according to the Tanakhama that she became Tomei after the 7 years in Eretz Yisrael? Did she bring a korban Tuma or not? According to the Bakiba Ego, no. According to the Keren Ora, yes. Okay. Mishnah says, Misha yushtei kitei edim meidos oisoi. Suppose a person has two groups of edim testifying about it. Elo meidim shenozer shtayim ve'elo meidim shenozer chomesh. One group says that he had declared two terms of Nazirus, and the other one says that he had declared five terms. So now the Mefoshim discussed the question over here. What is the person himself saying? Is he contradicting them? Is he not contradicting them and not saying anything? Or is he maybe saying, I don't know, I don't remember myself what I said? So let's learn the Mishnah and then we'll discuss that point. So Elam Edom Shenozer Shtayim Ve'Elam Edom Shenozer Chomesh. One group says that he took on himself two terms of Nazirus, and the other one says they took on five terms. So what does he have to keep? Beshama Elam Nechlaka Edos. So Beshama says we have a division between the Edom. In other words, we have a contradiction between the Edom. Therefore, Ve'en Kan Nazirus. So therefore, there's no Nazirus here at all. He doesn't even have to keep the two. He doesn't even have to keep the 2 days. The two times Nazirus, because you have another group that's contradicting that.
Why wouldn't you say you take the lesser of
So Basilo, I mean, yes, Basilo says, after all, five includes two. So therefore, she hey nozer shtayim. So that's reason enough for him to be two, for him to be a nozer twice. So now,
we also learned that it comes to Nazirus, you go lahakel. Right.
That is true. Right. So that's the point. Even so if we say Suffolk Nazirus Lahako for sure. But second of all, the Keren Oda explained that even if we say, and we had the opinion before of Reb Shimon that says Suffolk Nazirus Lahachmir, this Sham, I would say that since the two groups of Edim are contradicting one another, it's as if there's no Edos here whatsoever. So now Tosfos and the Rosh discuss the question, what is the person himself saying? If the person is just being quiet, When the first group says shtika kaida, then by being quiet, it implies that he's agreeing with what they say. So we should hold him to that. So Tosfos first says that we could be talking about that he contradicts each one. If he agrees with one group, then sure, Hadas Baldin and all that. But since let's say we're talking about one group comes and says you declared two terms of Nazirus, and he says no, I did not. And another group comes and says five, and he says no, I did not. So now the question is, do we still, after all, two Edim are the gold standard for Edus for evidence? So we can't say that we should just take his word against theirs. So the question would be, which one? Then Tosfos says that's one possibility. A second possibility is he says, I don't remember what I said. So therefore, now we have to follow the Edim. A third possibility, actually, Tosfos says, is he could be actually quiet. But we could be talking about where both sets of Edim came at the same time. And by the way, the Rosh points out, it has to be, we're talking about, that both sets of Edim are saying that he did this at the same time. Obviously, if just generically, one set comes and says, you made Nazirus of 2 days, of two times, and the other one says, you made Nazirus of five times, and they don't say when this happened, then there's not necessarily a contradiction between them anyway. He could have taken on two Nazirus at one time and five Nazirus at a different time. We're saying that both of them come and say, last Tuesday, you took on at 5 o'clock, and you took on two Nazirus, or you took on five Nazirus. Anyway, so now a third possibility, Tosfos says, is that you could be talking about, so both of them come at the same time to Beis Din, and he figures to himself, look, they're anyway contradicting each other. Why do I even need to speak up? Beis Din will tell them, go away, you're contradicting each other. Neither of you knows what you're talking about. So therefore, Beis Shammai would say that that's so, and Basila would say, that we still have to consider as though both of them are saying that, as though both sets of Edim are saying that he took on two Nazirus, because after all, five includes two. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Masnissin deloiki haitana. Now, our Mishnah evidently is not like, our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel b'no shel Rabbi Yechim b'Rabbi Omer, that Rabbi Shmuel has a different way of understanding the machloikas with Shammai b'Silul. He says, loy nechleku with Shammai b'Silul al shtei kitei edim. There's no argument with Shammai b'Silul when it comes to two complete separate sets of edim. Achas emeres shtayim, ba'achas emeres chomesh, where one group says two and one group says five, sheyesh b'chol chomesh shtayim, that given that five includes two, even Beis Shammai is going to have to agree that the person has to keep two sets of Nazirus, two terms of Nazirus. because each one is a whole separate set of Edim, and therefore, even though, so yes, they're contradicting each other about the later ones, about the third, fourth, and fifth, but the fact is you have a complete set of Edim about two and a complete set of Edim that also implicitly are saying two, because they're saying five and five includes two. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel holds that there's no machlokas. In that case, everybody agrees that he has to keep two terms of
Nezirim.
Two groups of Edim. One says two, one says five. What would the argument be about? Rabbi Shmuel says, Al-kat achas. When you have one group of Edim, one pair of Edim, and within that one pair itself, echad oim shtayim ve'echad oim chomish, one of the Edim of that group says two, and the other one says five. Now, Rabbi Shmuel says that would be machlokas. Beshama beshilo, shebeshama oim nechlaka edusan. Where Shammai says that we split up the Edus, because after all, the two Edim within the group are not even agreeing with each other. So therefore, so all you have is one aid, and one aid is not enough to impose the zeros on a person. Or beshilo oim yesh b'chol chomish shtayim, and beshilo would say that five includes two, and therefore it means that the two Edim are at least agreeing that he's chayiv in two nezirus. So again, our Mishnah that discusses the case where you have two separate sets of Edim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no machloikas. In that case, everybody would agree that he has to keep two terms of Nazirus.
That's a bait.
Okay. Omar Rav. So now Rav says in this connection, you should know that even Bishilo, who says that he has to keep two, hakol moidim b'moidim. Everybody will agree, even Bishilo, that if the Edim are counting the Nezirus, as we're going to explain in the Gemara soon, what that means, then we would say that we don't, that even Bishilo would agree that he does not have to keep the two Nezirus. So what do we mean? So Amalei Rav Chama, Rav Chista, my father. So Rav Chama, or the Rosh has a Girsa Rami Bar Chama, but anyway, so Rav Chama asks Rav Chista, my father. What does Rav mean by that? What does the word moina mean? Literally, moina means counting. But what does Rav mean? What is the case over here that where Rav is saying that even Beshilo would agree that we don't hold him to any nazirs? Do you mean that one group of Edim, or according to Rabbi Shmuel, one individual aid says it was specifically five, absolutely not two. I'm saying not only that he said five, I'm saying specifically he did not say two. The Tosfos explains that Rav's statement is specifically within Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel, who said that the machloikas b'shama b'shilo is only when you have one pair of Edim. So now we're talking about within that one pair, one of them says the person took on five and definitively not two. In other words, based in cross examines him, how many did he say? Did he say five? How many did he say? It says five. Did he say two? Absolutely not. He said five. And the other one, when they cross-examine him, says he said two. He most definitely did not say five. Well, then, of course, hakamak shi'adani. Then, of course, the two Edim are contradicting each other. So there's no chidush that the Edus is bottled then. So what would Rav be talking about? Ella, no. We have to say that what Rav means by moina, Echad Oimer Achas Ushtayim, where one aid says to the Nazir, you said I'll be a Nazir one and two, meaning that you counted out. You said I'll be a Nazir one and two are the times that I'm going to be a Nazir. The Echad Oimer Sholish Arba Chomish, and the other one says that you said I'm going to be a Nazir 3, 4, 5. So now the Edim are not explicitly contradicting one another, because neither one is saying that you did not say the other numbers. But nevertheless, Rav is saying that since each one is mentioning the enumeration that he did, where one of them says, he's not saying shtayim, he's saying achas ushtayim, and the other one is not just saying five, he's saying 3, 4, or 5. So it's the equivalent. By saying 3, 4, or 5 is the equivalent of saying you didn't say 1 or 2, you only said 3, 4, or 5. And then on the other hand, we should say maybe the one who says 1 and 2 is saying in effect you didn't say 3, 4, 5. Never. So therefore, Rav would say that is the case where Bishilo would agree that there's that you don't have an Edus over here. Because even though they're not explicitly contradicting each other, nevertheless, implicitly they're contradicting one another by saying by one of them saying one or two, which implies you only said the numbers one and two, not three, four, five. And the other one says you only said the numbers three, four, five, implying that you did not say the number two. So that would be Rav's mind. But Rav Chama asks on that. Holomali. Still, why does still you have to ask? Why would the aide be mentioning the? Of course, he doesn't need to mention one or two. Why would he need to mention? Hashti yeshloima chamir to Omar kilsaloy Omar. You're going to take out the word rather than you. Take out the word Rav, according to Tosfos, and according to the Rosh, the word Rav doesn't belong over here. It belongs in according to the Mefarish, so we'll explain according to the Mefarish in a minute, but according to Tosfos and the Rosh, the Gemara is saying, why would Beis Hillel agree that in effect the Edom are contradicting each other? You know why the second aid mentioned only three, four, five is because he would figure to himself, halomali, why would I need to mention the one and two? Hashti yeshloim chamir to Omar. If you could consider, if he's already saying the one that's more chamur, he's mentioning the other three that killed to loy Omar. Why would he not be saying the ones that are kal, the ones that are easier? Of course, they're included in him. So how is it hakosha? How is anybody contradicting anybody else? So why would Rav say? So in other words, Rav Chama is going like this. He's saying, what did Rav mean by moyne? He has to mean by elimination, he has to be this kind of thing where the Edim, or where each aid mentions a sequence of numbers. But the question would be that if the second aid only says three, four, and five, why would that be considered contradicting the other aid? Why wouldn't he say, very simple, he didn't mention one or two because the other aid already mentioned those and there's no reason to mention them. And after all, three, four, and five are more stringent than one or two. It means that he has three nazir, so four or five, rather than just one or two. So therefore, he shouldn't need to mention it at all. However, the Gemara says, Amri b'mar Rava. So in fact, the Gemara says that yes, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said, not like Rav, ein hakosha b'moina. As a matter of fact, yes, even when it comes to moina, even when the Edom are enumerating the numbers, like we just said, even then, Beis Hillel would not consider it hakosha like Rav did. Rav is saying that Beis Hillel would agree that it's hakosha. Therefore, you have no edus over here in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they disagreed with that and said that no. As a matter of fact, even then, Beis Hillel would say that you still have an edus on the two nazirus, and therefore Beis Hillel would have to say that he would be nazir, that he would be a nazir twice. So Tosfos brings over here from a Yerushalmi, which in fact says essentially that even if the aide said he didn't say one or two, he only said three or four, then Rav would say, like he says in our Gemara over here, Nechlokaidu, since you don't have a Nezeros, and Rabbi Yechanan would say that the Machlokas is even in that case of Prat. Now, if we have the word Rav in the Gemara, then we have the Mefarish has a different understanding of the flow of the Gemara. That we can say like this, that Rav Chama is saying, so again, Rav Chama is asking that what does Rav mean by Moina? He means that one of them said one and two, the other one said three, four, and five. The question is, why would Rav have to say that? In the case where you have Chamir to Omer Rav, if Rav said even the case that's more Chama, when you have two groups of Edim, and one of them said, one whole group of two Edim says that he said one and two, and the other one says three, four, and five, and still Rav says Nechloka Edusan, we would still say that the Edus is divided up, meaning, in other words, that So the Mefarish is understanding that that Rav is not talking about one set of Edim, is not talking about one set of Edim with the two Edim arguing with each other, like Tosfos had said. Rather, the Mefarish understands it to be two separate sets of Edim, and even in that case, Rav says that we divide that since the Edos are contradicting one another, therefore you don't have an Edos. So then when you only have one aid against one aid, of course he's talking about why would Rav have to say that? Meaning, in other words, that now he brings from that same Yerushalmi that Tosfos brings, that if you have two separate sets of Edim, so Rav says even when it's separate sets of Edim, we can still say that Befrat, which is the equivalent of what the Gemara calls your Moina, where the Edim are enumerating out the numbers, then because you have different sets of Edim contradicting one another, then therefore Beis Hillel would agree that you don't have. Only in the case of our Mishnah, where they said generically five and two, then you would have, Beis Hillel would say that he has to keep two. So now, according to that, Gemara would be asking over here, given that we have a Matt Yerushalmi, where Rav makes it clear that he holds that even when it's two whole separate sets of Edim, that it's because they contradict each other, you have no Nazirus, why would he need to even mention it in our Gemara over here? And then the Gemara would finish off that fine, there is a different opinion than Rav, namely the opinion in the West, meaning the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, that says that in fact in all cases we always say that we always say that's not considered hakosha. You always say that five includes two, and therefore you have a nezirus of two. That we don't say like Rav that there's a difference between moina and not moina. Either way, we say Bais Hillel says no matter what, whether you have one set of edim or whether you have two sets of Edim, either way, one says five, one says two. Even Moina, even when they're enumerating out the numbers, we still say that five includes two, and therefore he's a Nazir for twice. So that's the Mefarish's way of understanding the Gemara, and therefore the word Rav belongs in the Gemara. That we're saying Rav himself says in a stronger case elsewhere, so why would he need to say the weaker case over here? But then the Gemara leaves that question open. Then okay, you know, you could say that Rav had reason to mention it anyway, in order to show that he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan in both cases. Okay, Hadron Alach Mishomar. The next parak also begins Mishomar. I find it interesting, by the way. Usually, when you have two prokim like that in the same masechta that begin with the same words, they usually distinguish them somehow. They usually have Misha Omar Kama and Misha Omar Basra, or some other key word from later on in the sentence. Here they don't seem to do that. Maybe this is another one of those things of Lashon Nazir Mishuna that the Nazir is like not learned as much as some other masechtas, so therefore like they didn't think it necessary to distinguish that. Anyway. The Mishnah starts off, Misha Omar Hareni Nazir. If a person said, I will be a Nazir, Veshama Chavere Va'omer Va'ani, and his friend hears and says the word Va'ani, which means that I will be the Va'ani, and then a third person also says Va'ani, Kulam Nazirim, then all of them are Nazirim. This is what's called Hatfasa. This is what's called that you're grabbing on to the other person's Nazirus and making it your own as well. So you actually have, now we learned in Nedarim extensively about the whole concept of atfasa. You can have, for example, in front of you, you can have, let's say, a korban, and you say this bread should be like this meat, and then the bread becomes also to you as well. Here you actually have a major machloikas rishonim, that atfasa that we're talking about over here, is it the same kind as the kind in connection with Nedarim? The Rif says that it is. In other words, when he says va'ani, he's saying, I will be like you. So it's the equivalent of saying that this meat, that this bread will be like this meat. On the other hand, the ritva says it's not really the same kind of atfasa. All it is when he says va'ani is the equivalent of saying, I will be a nazir like you. This would be an example of a yad. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and also we learned at the beginning of Nedarim about the concept of yad. You don't always need a full declaration of a nedir for it to be chal. Sometimes it's enough that you say a partial declaration, and then it's like a yad, it's like a handle to grab on the rest of it. So therefore, that would apply over here. One point is, in other words, that because they ask on the Rif, if you're telling me that it's like Hatfasa and Nedarim, now the Mishnah is going to go on, the Mishnah and the Gemara actually, are going to go on to explain that we're talking about only when they said it Tochidei Dibur. Now, the question is, when it comes to Hatfasa with Nedarim, you don't need to do that. If I have a korban in front of me, even though that korban was declared a long time ago, I can still say this bread should be like this meat, and the bread becomes also. Why should it be any different over here? Why does it need to be Tevkere Dibur? The answer is, so the Ramban gives an answer, because the word Va'ani itself doesn't necessarily mean, now according to the Ritva, fine, we're saying the word Va'ani is a full declaration of Nazirus, it's not really a regular Atfasa, so therefore in order for the Va'ani to mean that, it would have to be Tevkere Dibur. But even according to the Rif, the vote would be, the Ramban explains, that the word Va'ani could just as well mean, and I won't be like you. So if he says it Tevkere Dibur, then we say that he means that I should be like you. But in fact, if he had said, Va'ani kamoicha, I will be like you, then it's true, it wouldn't have to be Tevkere Dibur. But only when he says only Va'ani and I, without saying kamoicha, then we would say that it would have to be Tevkere Dibur. So again, according to the Rif, the idea would be, according to the Rif, the way that Ramban explains it, the idea would be because just Bani by itself is not, unless it's Tekir Dibur, is not definitive enough to show that he's a Nazir. And according to the Ritva, the vote would be because the word Vani is only a Yad. And in order for it to be a Yad, we have to be able to know what it refers to. And that can only be if it's Tekir Dibur. Anyway. So the Mishnah continues. So now, Kulam Nazirim, so all of them are Nazirim. But now, Hutar HaRishon, if the first one is Matur Neder on his Nazirus, Hutru Kulon, then all of them automatically become Mutar because by saying Va'ani, they were making their Nazirus depend on his. So now his Nazirus is gone, so is theirs. But Hutar HaAchron, but if the last one becomes if the last one is Matur Neder, Ha'achrin Mutar, V'kolam Asurim, only the last one is Mutar, the rest of them are also, unless they're Matur Neder as well. In other words, the idea is, because they're all, again, Tolu Nidrehem, they all made their Nazirus depend on his. Mishnah continues. Omar Harini Nazir, if a person says, I'll be a Nazir, Meshama Chavere, his friend hears, but Omar, and he says, Pi Kepiv, my mouth should be like his mouth, or Sa'ori Kisa'ori, my hair should be like his hair. Harei's a Nazir, then he's also a Nazir. We're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, on Chafala from Abayez, what is the exact Lashon that he used that makes that work. Because after all, for example, if a person were to say, my finger is a Nazir, for example, nothing's going to happen, why should his mouth be any different than that? So we'll see in the Gemara. Next, Hareni Nazir, Vashama Ishtar Va'amra Va'ani. If a husband says, I will be a Nazir, and his wife hears him saying that and says, and I, again, Tokhide Dibur. So now his Nazirus does not depend on hers. On the contrary, he's the one who came up with it first. Therefore, Mefer is Shalav, Shalai Kayim. He can be Mefer hers because hers is a Nedu of Inu Nefesh, like any other. So therefore, he can be Mefer it. But his Nazirus is still intact because his Nazirus did not depend on hers. But on the other hand, Hareini Nazira, if the wife starts by saying, I am a Nazira, the Shama Baila Va'om of Ani, and her husband hears and says, and I will be a Nazir, Eini Yochel Lahafer, then he can't be Mefer anymore because now by saying Va'ani, in effect, he was Mekayim Hu Nazirus. As we learned in Nadarim, that once the husband is Mekayim, once he confirms that Hu Nedir is valid, and he says, I approve of it, then he can't be Mefer anymore. Well, by saying Va'ani, implicitly, he's agreeing with her, because he's saying, not only I like you, Nazirus, but I'm going to do the same thing as well. So now he can't be Mefer.
Unless he goes to a Chacham.
If he goes to a Chacham to be Mefer his Akoma, then maybe, yeah. Another case. Hareini Nazir Va'at. What if the husband says to his wife, I'll be a Nazir, and you, meaning what about you? Do you want to go along? Do you want to be a Nazir as well? Va'amra Amen. If she then answers Amen, meaning in other words, I accept what you're saying, still, Mefer es Shalav, Shaloi Kayam, still, it's not considered a neder that he imposed on her, because after all, she accepted it willingly by saying Amen. Therefore, it's like any neder of any nefesh, or Dvorim Shebeina Labeina, where he can veto it, and his neder still stays intact. So even though he's the one who came up by saying, Ba'at, do you want to be a Nazira? The fact is that, again, he didn't make his Nazirus depend on hers, and he left the question open to her. So therefore, he can still be made for her Nazirus. It's not considered that he was Mekayimit because he asked to begin with. An interesting point that Mefoshim on the Mishnah discuss: what happens if he says, not va'at, b'loshen she'ela, not if he asks it as a question, va'at, like what do you have to say, but rather if he says, Hareini Nazira va'at, what if he says, I'll be a Nazira, and you will be a Nazira. A number of the Mefoshim on the Mishnah point out that in fact he would be able to be made for it, because again, he doesn't have the ability to impose a Nazirus on her. She's not an Eved is something else we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, but whatever. She's, to that extent, she's considered independent, that her husband can't require her to be a Nazir or a Nazira. So therefore, even if he says Va'at, we don't consider So we don't consider that he would, that in effect by saying that he was Mekayim, he was Mekayim the Nazirus, and therefore that he and therefore that she should be held to it and he can't be made for it. No, in fact, there we might even say there wouldn't even be a Nazirus here, or we might even say there wouldn't be a Nazirus here at all, because there wouldn't even be a Nazirus here at all, because on what grounds is he able to be, is he able to impose Nazirus on her unilaterally like that? He can't. It would have to be that it would have to be that she made the Nazirus, or that she answered Amen to it. So Tiferes Yisrael and Rav Akiva Eger and a number of the Mishnayos, a number of them say that, a number of them say that if he says it, as a statement, Hareini Nazira Va'at, then it would be imposed on her, because then in effect, it's considered as though he was Mekayim. Now, we did learn in the Dorim that you can't be Mekayim a Neder before it was Chal. On the other hand, here where it's Tosh Kedei Dibur, then maybe that would work. So therefore, it would be considered that he was actually Mekayim the Neder, and therefore that he can't be made for it anymore, because here it's all Tosh Kedei Dibur, and in fact, he said it to begin with. He said Va'at. And then, therefore it would actually work, and the Nazirus would actually be in effect on her.
You mentioned the Tiferet Yisrael.
Tiferet Yisrael was a Pirush on Mishnayos. Yeah. Pirush on Mishnayos.
I understand, but he also the rabbi also.
Let's talk about him later. Tosfos also brings a different girsa. Okay, actually, the next girsa is for another thing. The next case in the Mishnah. So he said, Hareini Nazir Va'at, and what do you say? So now we said, if she says Amen, so now the husband can't make her a Nazira Baal Korcha. But if she says Amen, then she accepted it. Therefore, that's a valid Nazirus. And again, according to a number of Mephoshim, he says Va'at as a statement, then in fact, he wouldn't be able to be made for it as long as she says Amen, because then it comes out that he was Mekayim. What about Hareini Nazir Va'at? What about Hareini Nazira V'shama Baila V'Amar V'Ani? I'm going back over here. Hareini Nazira Va'ata, if she says, I'll be a Nazira, and what about you? Va'oma Amen, and he says, yes, he says Amen, which means that he accepts that. Any Yachol Lahafer, then he's not able to be made for it, because again, he made his Nazirus depend on hers. So that way, in effect, he was Mekayim, who Nazirus, by saying that I want to go along with it and be a Nazir as well. And in fact, Mephoshim discuss a related case. What happens if he makes his Nazirus depend on hers? What if he says, I'll be a Nazir, but only if you also agree to be a Nazira? So now if she says no, or if he's made for her Nazirus, then his doesn't take effect either, because his Nazirus dependent on hers. Since he has the ability to be made for hers, then if he is, then his Nazirus doesn't exist either, because his was dependent on hers. The Tosfos Yomtov makes that point. So the Gemara starts out. Yosef Rish Lakish Kamed Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. Rish Lakish was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah, by the way, is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. There were several Nesiim of that name, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah, but the one we're talking about was the first one who was a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rish Lakish was sitting as a Talmud in front of him. V'yosef Akama, he was sitting and saying, V'hu, this din of the Mishnah, that Reuven says, I'll be a Nazir, and Shimon says, Va'ani, and Levi says, Va'ani, and they're all Nazirim, would only apply only if they did it, V'hu shi'et pisu kulan, v'toch kere dibur, only if they all said it, toch kere dibur, of toch kere dibur, of the first one. So Reuven said, I'll be a Nazir, and immediately, v'toch kere dibur, before you have the chance to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shimon said, Va'ani, and Levi also said Va'ani, then that would be enough, and they're all Nazir. V'kama Toch Kedei Dibur Kedei She'el Astralim. What is Toch Kedei Dibur? Is the amount of time it takes to greet, to greet a person. And what kind of greeting? V'kama Kedei She'el Astralim. How long is the time for greeting? Kedei She'omer Shalom Talmud L'Rab. The amount of time that a Talmud says Shalom to his Rebbe, where he says Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So therefore, it would be the amount of time it takes to say three words. So that's the maximum amount of time that they have to be machlis. But Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah says, I don't like that. Truv lo shavkat ravchul talmidah. Then in that case, you're not leaving any room over for a Talmud. Namely, in other words, so if you have, suppose that a Talmud hears somebody making a nedu of Nazirus, he wants to say va'ani, he wants to be machlis with that person's Nazirus. But now, meanwhile, his Rebbe is passing by, and out of Derech Eretz, he needs to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe immediately. So now, he's going to lose his window of opportunity to be Matfis and the other guys in the Zeros. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, you can't do that. You have to allow him enough time to be able to greet his Rebbe and still to be Matfis and the other guys in the Zeros. Therefore, the implication is that even a little bit after Kedei Dibur, you can still, he would still be able to be Matfis. Not like Yura Shlokesh are saying that the window of opportunity is only Kedei She'ilas Shalom Talmud Barav. It has to be a little bit, it has to be a little bit more than that. Nevertheless, the Gemara continues, Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn a Braisa like Rish Lakish's understanding. The Braisa says, Misha Amar Hauni Nazir, a person says that I'll be a Nazir, Rishama Chaved Rishah Kedei Dibur, if Shimon hears and waits till Kedei Dibur, and then the Amar Va'ani, and then he says Va'ani, who also Va'chaved Emotor, only Reuben is a Nazir, Shimon is not, because he waited after Kedei Dibur. Vakama Kedei Dibur, and how long is Kedei Dibur? Kedei She'elas Shalom Talmud Rab is the amount of time that a Talmud would greet his Rebbe. So that would be like Rav Shlokesh, not like Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So the Gemara continues. Lema Masayale. Well, can we say that our Mishnah supports Rish Lakish? Not only maybe we have a Braisa according to Rish Lakish, we're fine. We can say Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya can always find another Braisa that says differently. But can we say that we can actually support what Rish Lakish is saying from the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Misha Amar Hayini Nazir, where Reuven said, I'm a Nazir, Shama Chaveri Va'am Va'ani, and Shimon hears and says Va'ani, Va'ani, and then Levi hears and says Va'ani, and he said all of them are the Nazirim. Now, why does the Mishnah mention Va'ani only twice? So maybe that shows, because you don't have any more time than that. Because since Shalom Alecha Rebbe is only the time it takes to say, those three words, so you don't really have room to say any more than that. Actually, Tosfa says, according to Rish Lakish, the point is that we're saying the Chiddush is, even though Shimon spoke up in between, you should say maybe Levi is not considered Tosfa Dibur of Reuven anymore because somebody else spoke up in between. Nevertheless, we still say that Levi is considered Tosfa Dibur of Reuven. Then fine, the Mishnah didn't have to mention a third time because it's obvious the same didn't apply. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, if even four people can be Matfis like that, then the Mishnah should have said so, because that would be a big Chiddush. The answer is that's not a proof. What do you expect the Tana to be like a peddler to keep on giving a whole long list? A peddler, yeah, has to list every single thing that he has. A Tana doesn't have to do that. He can mention twice, Vani, and we're meant to understand that it applies to future ones as well. So we can't say that the Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya or that it definitively supports Rish Lakish. We can suggest that it does, but not necessarily. Okay, so the Gemara asked in that case, V'lisni chad v'lashmin and hachi, v'lashmin and hani. So in that case, then all the Mishnah would have had to say is one v'ani, and we would understand why does it say twice v'ani. And the answer is hachi nami, you're right, it could have. Or mishum de katani sefo, hutra harishin, hutra kulon, hutra ha'achron, ha'achron mutav, kulon asurin. But the Mishnah wants to continue with the case where you had multiple people with matfis in this nezirus. And we said if the first one is matur neder, then all of them are now mutter. But if only the last one is matur, then the ones above him are not mutter, so that implies that there have to be at least three of them, the klal, the ikka, and soi. So that implies there have to be a middle one. So therefore, that would be why the Mishnah mentioned va'ani twice. But it is true that it's true the Mishnah could have only said it once, but then we wouldn't know the following din from it that the Mishnah is going to say, which we're going to continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and discuss the point when we say, are we talking about that? What do we say? Are all of them depending on Reuven or directly, or is it Shimon depends on Reuven and Levi depends on Shimon? In which case, we're going to discuss that point tomorrow. The point is, therefore, the Mishnah needed to tell us a case where there are three of them in order for that question to even come up. So that is why the Mishnah had to imply that there were at least three of them, Reuven, who said Harini Nazir, Shimon, who said Va'ani, Levi, who said Va'ani, and that makes it possible to ask, to discuss the point that we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about do we say that Shimon and Levi both directly depend on Reuven, or does Levi depend on Shimon, where therefore, if Shimon is Matur Neder, then therefore Levi would be free from Nezirus as well. So we'll take that point up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
You're saying Va'ani, Va'ani.
Yeah, Shekayach.
So Va'ani means an I. So again, Reuven said, I'll be a Nazir. Shimon hears and says, Va'ani, and I will be a Nazir, which implies that I will be a Nazir. And it's a very